All right. Now that scripture earlier that I read in Psalm 94, when you couple that, when you look at that, and so Proverbs 3:5 answers that. Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make straight and smooth your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Reverence the Lord and depart from evil. Every day our faith is being tested more and more. Well, let me assure you, God is still on the throne. Jesus is Lord of all. Holy Spirit is still doing his thing. Jehovah is the one in control. Psalm 1, that is Hebrew. That's how it is. Not, O Lord, our Lord. To interpret it right, it's Jehovah is the one in control. When you really get into it and find out what's in the Word for us, sure gives you a little bit more confidence, doesn't it? No matter how dark our night, God's morning always comes. No matter how downcast we may feel, God's presence is always with us. No matter how desperate our circumstances, God's power always prevails. Always, at all times. These hard times leave us in darkness, but they can never separate us from the light. In John 8:12, Jesus said, I am light. I am. Again, he uses it. I am. What's he reference himself to? He is God. I am light to the world, and those who embrace me will experience life-giving light, and they will never, no, never be driven, pushed by the darkness. Never. It is our faith in the Lord that will get us through. For our nation, for your personal lives, for your family, faith in Him will get you through it. So, is your faith real? Or are you pretending? Whatever you need today, faith is the answer. There's nothing God hasn't provided or won't provide for you in this life. And faith is the key. It's so important to our spiritual life. Because in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, Passion Translation says, without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that He is real, and that He rewards the faith of those who passionately seek Him. Sure makes it a little bit different. Passionately. Faith pleases God. Without faith, we are powerless to please Him. It's how we receive salvation. It's power that brings signs. You hear that? It's power that brings the signs. the wonders, the miracles, and the manifestations of His promises. The Lord is looking for people with faith to show Himself strong to. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to make strong, let me say that again, in order to make strong those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Committed to Him. That's dedicated, devoted to Him with our whole hearts. Whole heart. And when you are, you will have peace. You will have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Fully committed. You hear that? You want peace. That's where it's going to be found, in Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Right? Faith is the game changer for our lives. For a manifestation of God's power in our lives today, faith is the answer. Because what's Mark 11:22 say? Have faith in God. I like it in the Greek. In the Greek, it is translated, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith, folks. Well, if you say, I don't feel like I have faith. I've heard people say that. I don't have faith. The faith we have. Now, I said, we have. Didn't originate from us. God gave us a measure of His own faith. Says it in Romans 12:3. That means we have a measure of what created the universe in us, or in you. When you look up at the night sky, the sun shining so beautiful, the clouds, and the birds that are in the air, you have to remind yourself, yeah, I have a measure of the faith that made those things. It's inside of me. It's inside of each and every one of you. We just have to learn how to use it. Faith is not a movement. Faith is not a group. Faith is not a doctrine. Faith is how God Himself functioned, and it's how He told us to function and to live. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith. We live by faith. Not by what we see with our eyes. How do we know if our faith is real or if we are pretending? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. I'm just telling you what the Word says. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith and test yourselves. Does that mean faith isn't always what it appears to be? Apparently not. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. This will clear that up. Paul tells Timothy that he recognizes his unfeigned faith. To feign means to fake. And Paul was saying here that he knows Timothy's faith is unfeigned, or genuine and sincere, rather than fake. Clear that up a little bit? That is why we are called to examine ourselves, to take an honest look at the state of our faith, so we can make adjustments so that we can get on to the glory and to the victory. We are Word of Faith people. We are believers. And we understand the power of our words. Again, words. Words. We know we will have what we say. Jesus' own words to us were, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So we are careful to speak only right words. And refrain, please, refrain from speaking words against the desired outcome. See, in doing so, we have come, though, to this place where many times we are misusing and overusing the phrase, "I'm believing. I'm believing." How many times have you heard that said? "I'm believing for this. I'm believing for that." Oh, praise God. But oftentimes, what one is really doing is substituting the word believing for wishing and wanting. You see, just because you need or want something doesn't mean you're believing. Don't assume that because you're saying you're believing, you really are believing. If you're trying to convince yourself to have faith by saying this, it won't work. Saying "I'm believing" is not how faith works or how faith even comes. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17, if you are writing the scriptures down. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, not hearing yourself say, "I believe, I believe." That's why it is so important to word up. Word up so you are filled up with the Word of God. We need to fill up every day by reading and listening to teachings. It's so easy nowadays because it's on this, and everybody except Denny has one.
I have one of these.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, he's got an iPad, right? Oh, praise God. He is moving up into technology. But if you ever go into his shop, that's what you're going to watch on the TV that's down there. Nothing but Christian. Nothing but Christian programs. But he listens to it all day long because he's sitting there, his job pertains. There's times when you're sitting down in your job, you may not have to while you're working, but when it's your break and it's your lunchtime, you can sure download something and quick on it. You have to carry a CD player. Do you remember that? I used to carry one of the big boom boxes. You know, I'm a 70s child, man. You know, okay. So, you know, technology is really, I mean, you just turn it on, play it, and stick it in the back pocket, and you can hear it the whole time. It's easy. You just got to commit to doing it and putting your phone to that purpose instead of some of the other purposes they use that phone for. Let me also, there is a big difference, though, between having heard and hearing. Revelation comes from allowing and expecting the Word of God to be quickened. And that is made alive to your spirit and change you on the inside. 2 Corinthians again. Examine yourselves. Next time you hear yourself saying, "I'm believing," pause a moment and examine yourself. Am I really believing? If not, wait. Yes, wait. Wait for what? Wait for faith to come. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Word up. Word up. Keep renewing your mind and building your faith until you feel it and know it's there. Faith boiling over. You ever boil potatoes on the stovetop? What happens when they start to get a boil? If you try, whoo, man, the same as pasta. Just, that's when you know you're at that point. When your faith is at that point, that's when you can say, I'm believing with my faith. So, when it comes to our words, again, the words, if we'll be more selective, we'll be more effective. When making a stand in faith and saying, I'm believing, okay, based on what? Based on what? Real faith has a real foundation. And that foundation is that you have heard from God about your situation, either in His Word or by His speaking to your spirit. I've heard many times God speak to me into my spirit. Probably a lot of you have too. And probably some of you are sitting there saying, well, you never speak to me. Well, maybe you ain't listening. Maybe you ain't listening. You have to be willing to hear from God. Sometimes that thought that they put telling you to do something, you'll say, oh, no, ain't me. Ain't me. No, nope, you must be talking to somebody else. You know, it's when you reach over and make sure the radio is on or off, and then you turn it up so you can hear music, so you're distracted from not hearing properly from God when He has tried to reach out to you. He's not a respecter of persons. He talks to all of us, no matter where you're at, driving in your car, sitting in your throne room. You know, he'll talk to you. He'll talk to you. Now, real faith has a real foundation. So if you are standing on a scripture, it must be one that has been quickened to your spirit. And within the context of all other scriptures. 2 Timothy, Paul, he's telling us in chapter 2, verse 15. He tells us that we are to rightly divide the word of God. Which means to handle it correctly and consider every verse in context. And against the other verses in the Bible. Yep. Rightly dividing the Word and the Scriptures in context with one another is what will give us the complete, original, and genuine meaning of what God wants us to clearly understand. That's why it's so important to consider what it says in 1 John 5:14. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, comma, He hears us. The key to knowing that God hears our prayers is to pray according to His will. His word is His will. All right now. Not everything is His will. Yeah, let me repeat that. Not everything is His will. Before you take a stand on the Word of God, be sure what you're believing for is actually His will for you. Faith that is built on a solid foundation comes when you have heard God. How do you hear from Him? Again, word up. Word up. The more time you spend in the Word of God, the quicker you will recognize His voice. Whatever you need to believe for today, there is a word in season for you. And if you'll have ears to hear, Jesus said that, did He not? In Mark 11, He said, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. He wasn't talking about the physical ears. He was talking about the heart. That's what Jesus was talking to him about right there. If you'll have ears to hear, Holy Spirit will quicken it to you. Having heard from him will build your faith and increase your, expectancy. For example, you could say, I'm believing Anthony's going to mow my grass and babysit my kids. And he is well able to do that, folks. He can go from pushing a mower to changing a dirty diaper. But that is only possible if Anthony told you that. You can't have faith that he'll do that unless you heard him tell you he would. That sink in? See, the same is true with God. Some situations are clear from the Word of God, but in many cases, we need to hear from him before we take a faith stand and start believing him to perform miracles. So many people end up disappointed because they made a decision to stand on a particular scripture without ever hearing from God. They tried to make it fit. God, if it doesn't fit, it's like, what's the name of that game, Lee? Tetris? With the things that come down that you played and mastered? I mean, blocks are coming down and they turn. You got to fit them. I used to sit and just watch. I couldn't manipulate one of them crazy things. Praise God. But that was back in the day. Okay. You see what I'm saying? You can't make that scripture fit. And if God doesn't want you to work, he's probably got the right scripture to fit that scenario what you're believing for. And then what happens, though, when it doesn't work? And if it doesn't come to pass, it weakens our faith. We don't understand why God didn't move. And we start getting into the doubt and the unbelief. Spend time in the Word. Spend time praying in the Spirit. Expect to hear from God. And don't take a faith stand until you do. Faith doesn't come from head knowledge. You could memorize every scripture in the Bible and still have no revelation. But if you read the Word of God as if it is life-changing, not just to pick it up and read it and say, I read my chapter today. You didn't get nothing out of it. How you approach it, how you want to spend time. This is you. This is him communicating to you and me. That's awesome when you think of that. That's awesome. We are his children. He loves us. He's provided for us and continues to provide every way out of every situation that we are in. And it's a way out. But if you read the Word of God as if it is life-changing, you'll get revelation. Revelation is when the Spirit of God reaches inside you and turns the light on. Boom. That is how you get fresh meaning out of a scripture you've read dozens of times before. You will never receive beyond your expectancy. Hear that, Tim? Expectancy is the key to the doorway of receiving God's blessings. Expectancy opens our heart to hear. It opens up our heart to hear and receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has said. Now, with that in mind, Mark 11:23-24. Let's read that with an expectant heart. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Here is something very important to take note of. This scripture is not referring to prayer. It is an instruction directly from Jesus to us to speak to the mountain. He didn't say, beg God to move the mountain. He said, you speak to the mountain. You don't speak about the mountain, because the more you speak about the mountain, the bigger and unmovable it will become. No, Jesus said, speak to it. Cast it into the sea. Grade all it down with the Word of God. If your situation, or in your situation, in your need, in your desire, examine yourself. Are you praying when you should be saying? There is a tremendous power in saying. Jesus spoke to the wind, to the trees, and to even fevers. Yeah, he spoke to fevers. Luke 4, 38 to 39. After leaving the Sunday morning church service that day, Jesus went to Peter's house, where he found Peter's mother-in-law was very sick with a high fever. Please heal her, everybody begged. Standing at her bedside, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up at once and prepared a meal for them. He didn't pray and ask the Father to make the fever leave. He spoke directly to the fever using the same authority he has given to us. The same authority has been given to us. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you the authority. Jesus said, I give you the authority to trample upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We're talking Satan here, the big guy, who is no longer a big guy. He has been reduced to a little, witty-bitty guy. Don't look at this when you're talking to Satan. Look at that. Look at that. Put him under your foot. Come on. Put your foot on the neck of the devil is what it says. You have the ability. You have the power. You have the authority of King Jesus. Hallelujah. So, when you think about that, he has given us his powerful authority. Yeah, does that sink in, the authority you have? Do you really believe what I'm telling you? Because it's the Word of God. And the Word of God has not changed. See, Satan doesn't want you to hear this. Satan does not want you to know that you have the power to trample upon his little demons and these little evil things that keep trying to come against you. They come. He didn't promise it was going to be a cakewalk. But he has given us the authority to put them down and put them under where they need to be. So much so, now, right now, we're living what they call the cancel culture. They're working so hard to say, this is hate speech. We don't want it being read. We only want to take the good parts out and have you preach it. That's where they're headed for. We have been so naive for so long, and what they have been doing to this cancel culture, that you don't, most of you aren't even aware of it. Some of you probably are, but not all of it. And if we, the church, the ecclesia, gets up and stands together and don't support these different companies and corporations that are out there, because you don't know what they're doing behind the scenes. They're sneaky. They're sneaky. They can put other businesses out of business. They can silence the voices of America. Why support them? It's hard nowadays, but when you pick up something, what's it say? Oh, yeah, it was easy. Was it made in America? No. It's either it's made in China. Why would you support an enemy? And I know it's got to be very selective, because we let everything, because corporations in the cancel culture moved everything to China. Left it happen. They have cheap slave labor. They do. So why do you think all these other countries are trying to get into this country? This country pays good. This country gives them an opportunity to make something themselves. They've been so oppressed ever. If we're such a bad country, why are they all trying to come here? You know, I just got off going there, praise God. But I'm tired of this cancel culture that's been trying to overtake this nation. And we can't. We got to be more awake of what's going on. We got to pay attention when we got to hear it. And it seemed like you aren't going to hear it anywhere else but in church and on selected programs. Because some of the stuff they're trying to do, you think there was a victory with this Facebook thing with this whistleblower? She was from the left. She got in there. She's doing it because she knows that they're getting out of control. They want to still reign in control. But also, when they take them down, they can take down things like Flashpoint, where we get true news. We hear the Word of God with what's going on in today. Those are the things they want to work to. See, you know, it looked like it was, oh, hey, now we're getting a victory. No, now it's going to be used. Because they want to have, the government wants to have full control over all the tech companies and all these media things that are going on. It's what it comes down to. And when they control them, they can take down and deplatform anything they want. They're taking the freedom of speech. And they're trying to take away the church. They're trying to take away the church. They're trying to silence the church. Oh, yeah? So there's nothing new, and we've survived at this point because it takes an awakening. And that's what we're having. And through this awakening, what are people doing? They're looking for hope. They're looking for a way out. This is the time of great harvest. And that's what is happening through our country. There is great harvest. And Satan is more mad about that. Because what he thought he was going to be able to do one way is being counteracted. God always turns things around. He can turn the bad into the good. Because you might be saying, what's the good? Got more into his kingdom. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Praise God. Your mountain can hear you. Use your faith, use your authority, and start saying. Don't get used to sickness, lack, and strife in your life. Don't accommodate it and allow it to stay. If it comes in, quickly open a door and kick it out. And if you're worded up, you'll be aware of when that happens. You'll know right away, I got to get things turned around here. And don't blame God and say, well, God, I've asked you to make this go away. Why won't you help me, Lord? Prayer is powerful. And it has an important place in the life of born-again Christians. So how do you know when you should be saying instead of praying? When you pray the two prayers that God can't answer. One, asking God to do something He's already done. Selah. Number two, asking Him to do what He told you to do. In these two cases, He has said that you must speak and you must believe. Real faith will speak and believe what it speaks. Real faith in a real God gets real results every time. That is one of the indicators of real faith. There is no such thing as a faith failure, because faith works every time. Manifestations aren't always instantaneous. There are times when patience needs to have its perfect work. James 1:4. This is the word. But faith will always bring about results, because faith never fails. Real faith doesn't get frustrated. If you're frustrated with your situation or frustrated with how long it is taking to see a manifestation, you're not in faith. You believe, you receive when you pray, not when it comes to pass. Real faith is expecting God to work miracles, expecting to see manifestations of the Holy Spirit. How can you tell if you're expecting? I got a word for you. Excitement. Excitement. If you have an excitement, you're not, if you have no excitement, if you have no excitement, you're not in faith, because you're waiting for something to excite you. Jesus said in John 14:13, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Can ask anything in my name, and I will do it. So examine your faith. Did you ask Him? Is it in His will? Then by expecting, faith is full of expectancy and anticipation. That's what faith is. Full of expectancy and anticipation. What you going to do, Daddy? What you going to do, Daddy? Uh-huh. What do you want me to do? Well, I'd like to get a new car. Okay. Now, how are you going to do that? Are you going to sow a seed for that? Ah, a seed, Daddy. Is that what I got to do? Yeah. Daddy wants to hear from you. Daddy wants to take care of you. Be expecting when you go to Daddy. See, that's the key to seeing miracles in your life, expectancy. If you're expecting, you will see results. God is always ready to do a miracle. I'm saying that. He's always ready to do a miracle. Miracles didn't pass away. They're here today. They're happening all the time around us. In James 2:17, there. Now, if you are operating in real, genuine faith, you will act on that faith. And then James says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, real faith has corresponding action. It does something. It does something. What does acting on your faith look like? Some people know they need to take action, so they go out and randomly do something, and it doesn't work. That's because the action we take should be based on what God has told us to do. You cannot successfully operate faith principles apart from being led by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. He will direct you when it comes to acting on your faith. And to do that, I'll close with this. In John chapter 2, on the occasion of the first miracle, we see the principal action when they lacked wine at the wedding. Jesus' mother asked him to get involved in the situation. And then she turned and told the servants, do whatever he tells you. When they paid attention, he gave a specific instruction to fill the jars with water and then take it out. They followed the instructions. You hear what I'm saying? They followed the instructions. And those people had some of the finest wine they ever drank in their lives. When they paid attention, he gave them specific directions. When God is speaking to you, he's speaking to us through his word, he's given us specific instructions. He tells us what to do, where to stand, and how to stand so that our faith will work and will become real faith. Because real faith in a real God gets real results. Amen? Amen. Thank you.